Welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
My name is Rob F. Switch.
And this is the video game music podcast featuring third and fourth generation video game music only. And this is episode 209. And before we get into the episode, as usual, we have some top of the show business. First off, being our sponsor, Double Cobra Milling. It's an apparel company. They have t-shirts and hooded sweatshirts with Cobra and Milling themed imagery and logos. Their products are sweatshop free, sustainably sourced, high quality, and 5% of their profits go to support Cobra research in India. You can check out their shirts and hooded sweatshirts, as well as make purchases at www.doublecobramilling.com. You can also follow them on Instagram at doublecobramilling and on Twitter at doublecobramill. Okay, so now, as far as, I've some games I've been playing lately. I can talk about that, or you just got back from another country, didn't you? Yep. I got it.
Yeah, what country do you think I was in?
Canada, it sounded like. Sounded like Eastern Canada. No, I know you. I know where you were.
I was in France once again.
Where were you? Why were you there?
I like France very much.
Oh, okay. All right. And then what else? Any other top of the show business? No, I'm just kidding. What were you doing there? How long were you there?
I was there. It's complicated, Brent. It was canceled flights, illness, lost luggage.
Oh, you got sick.
How many days did I take off? I took off about 21 days from work.
Yeah.
I only got to see 3 or 4 days of France, really.
Did you work there?
No, not this time.
Uh-huh.
But
and you got sick.
I was with my mom the first part of the trip.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a family trip.
Somewhat.
What was the rest of the trip?
It was me and my girlfriend for the second part of the trip.
Oh, girlfriend. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Okay, all right. So it was kind of a vacation then, huh?
Yes, but it just was cut a little short because it's a long story. Maybe I'll get into it during the show.
Okay.
But I'm very happy to be back home.
And you got back last night?
A day and a half ago I got back.
Okay.
And I'm still on, my time zones are all messed up.
So what time are you right now?
I think it's 1 in the morning in France.
Oh, really? So you're going to be sleeping during this episode or what? You should have snored in a French way, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Or something.
Oh, no,
like that.
No. This is how you snore the French way. You go, le.
Oh, right. But can you snore in the same way the rhythm of the laughing, of the French laughing? There you go. Pretty good.
Oh. Well, I tried.
But
I'm here. I am present and ready to start off another episode, my friend.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about what I've been doing the last month as far as gaming goes.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I think I mentioned this last episode maybe, but first time in my life, I actually bought a flat screen TV.
What?
It's a big move.
That's right. You know, I've only owned CRTs this whole time, and, you know, I have three of them. But I finally got a flat screen TV so that I could play. There's several games that I've been wanting to play that are for newer consoles. And so, yeah, I have been playing those new games.
So you're becoming kind of a modern gamer.
Yeah, I got the headset. I'm on
playing Call of Duty.
I'm Fortnite. I do Fortnite. Yeah. I do Focusrite. I'm playing Focusrite.
You do the Fortnite dances now?
Yeah, I do that. I do the Fortnite dances everywhere I go. I'm doing them right now, actually. Can you hear the Fortnite dance moves that I'm doing? So, no, there's a few games I've been wanting to play, and you know, for a while I had this Xbox One that I wanted to play Cuphead with, but I never bought the TV to play it because I wasn't as motivated because it was only one game. But now someone gave me a Nintendo Switch, and so now there was a few games on the Switch I wanted to play, so now it's a told, you know, I, there was several games that were motivating me to get a flat screen TV. So anyway, I got one. Anyway, started off with Cuphead, and I played that a ton. I played Cuphead for about, I think it was, you know, maybe 40 hours or so. And I got 200% completion. I beat everything on expert. I got an A on everything in regular. And I even got an S ranking on one of the bosses in expert mode. And a really good game, really imaginative with the really creative boss designs and mechanics. Just really imaginative. Yeah. And, also I died 934 times. I was thinking, you know, I beat a lot of these games and I do, you know, for example, you know, just games that people know to be really hard and I end up, you know, beating 100%ing them or whatever. I don't think I'm that good at games. I just, my level of commitment is high though. And
sure.
So
yeah.
I'm not that good, but I'm dedicated to keep playing until I beat it so that I, if you just keep playing something enough, you're going to be able to, you're going to beat it, you know? So when I say I beat a game, it's not because I'm good. It's because I'm dedicated.
You put in the work.
Yeah. I'm not, but I don't think I have a natural talent though. or any particular natural talent, yeah.
Well, I hope I finish Cuphead too. Oh yeah,
you were playing it, and Gabe was playing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a really cool game. Really imaginative. Like I said, I keep on saying imaginative, but it is. You know, it's just there's some really neat designs on the way the bosses operate and stuff, and yeah,
it's almost kind of psychedelic in spots.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And for anybody who isn't familiar with Cuphead, it's a kind of a shoot 'em up kind of game, I guess. But I mean, it's all boss fights mainly. It's a boss run kind of.
It's like a run and gun.
Run and gun kind of game, but you're not really running so much. But it looks like an old cartoon is the real selling point. Is it looks like it's supposed to seem like it's from the 30s, and the animation is really fluid and. Yeah, and good, you know. So, there are a few run and gun levels, but it's really hard. It gets really hard. Especially on expert mode, really hard. Some of the bosses are really hard. But, good game. Yeah, Cuphead. You gotta beat it. There's a part in the game that's similar to Gunstar Heroes.
Okay.
Anyway, you know, I wanted to also mention, I didn't mention this last month, but, you know, we were talking about Undertale, I think, last month, right? Or something like mm-hmm. that. Well, I also did, there's a follow-up to Undertale called Deltarune, and but it's only the first chapter. I think that's why I didn't mention it, but I did play through that as well. And I don't feel the game is done yet, you know? So that's why I didn't mention it, but I mean, I feel like just the first chapter being released is sort of almost like a demo of the game. But based on that demo, I personally did enjoy Undertale more because well, I think I like the music a lot more in Undertale, and also I like the simplicity of just having one party member. But in Deltarune, you have more than one party member; you have three. But the game seems good, but I don't know. I don't think we can really comment on it yet because it seems more like, you know, just. Well, it's just the first chapter. I wait to play the whole entire game. I started playing The Messenger a couple days ago, and this is a game you played.
I love that game.
Yeah, so far it's really great.
It's one of my favorites of last year.
Yeah, so far I'm really enjoying it, and it's good. It's a good game. It's an 8-bit style game. You know, reminiscent of a Nintendo game.
Kind of like Ninja Gaiden.
Looks like Ninja Gaiden.
I like the controls are very tight. Mm-hmm. I think, you know.
Uh-huh.
Feels good to play.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't know. Anyway, I've yet to finish it, but you know, you 100%ed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't do the special mode. You know, the post. I didn't replay the game. I played it once. 100%, yeah.
So that's where we're at here. Yeah. After The Messenger, I think I'm gonna try Hollow Knight. See what happens. You know, I don't know.
I was just remembering that I gave you that Yoku's Island Express.
Oh yeah, I gotta play that. I gotta go there. Yeah.
Fairly short.
Right. I gotta go there.
It's moderate length, but I think I like it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I gotta get into that. Yeah. So many games, so little time, you know? And then there's also Super Famicom stuff I have to get to. I got to try to play Marvelous in Japanese.
That's going to be tough.
Hmm. All right, well, let's move on then. You got anything else, Rob?
Do you know... You know the Fortnite dances.
I have seen people doing that out on the street.
Right? One of my favorite things is to spot children in public doing it because it seems like a lot of kids can't help it, and it's almost like a kind of Tourette's-y type thing where they just all of a sudden get just taken over can't stop doing it. It's so funny to me. I don't know why. It's just so funny.
Some of these kids look so weird doing it too. Gosh.
I also saw an adult do it at a Uniqlo, and it wasn't as funny.
Oh, I've seen adults doing it too. Yeah, but go on, Rob.
I did the Fortnite dance on a Dance Dance Revolution machine.
Mm-mm.
It's Easter egg. Just try it.
What?
Bonus. Take you to a bonus level if you do the Fortnite dance on a Dance Dance Revolution machine.
That's not true, is it?
Try it.
You gotta find out.
See what happens, because it's... Just try it. That's all I'm saying.
It's like dancing part of the game, or is it just like a thing you do for fun? Like
it's something
like Halo
you do for fun. Basically, when you're waiting for other players to join, you can dance around, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can do it in the game or not, or when you're playing it. But you're in a little area where you're waiting for other players to join.
Okay. I think you can. It's kind of like saying hello. I think you can do it while you're playing.
Oh, really?
Like emotes or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. And you can like win more, pay something to get other dances.
Oh gosh.
I played Destiny. It was like that. You could buy like other waves or something. Yeah. Okay. I did not buy this.
Yeah. I never played it. Never played Fortnite, and I never will. But I have friends who play it, though. Yeah. I have a friend who got first place, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I played it for a little bit, and all I did was just hide in a bush until I was the second to last person.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
you got second. Which is like a cheat, and then I would die immediately. So
really?
Someone would find me and kill me, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then that makes the game not fun.
You hid in the bush?
Yeah.
But you couldn't hide the whole time unless you hid in the center, huh?
You can strategize, yeah. You can kind of, there's certain areas where you can be like, okay. Yeah, you can kind of figure out a good way to do
it. Oh, because it like closes in.
Yeah, it closes in. Yeah.
Should we get into the music?
I'd say let's do it.
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to start things off. We're doing just another, you know, free play style. There's no specific topic, although maybe we'll find a topic in, during our, you know, during this episode, we'll figure out the topic. So I'm going to start things off with a Sega Master System game. This came out in for the Sega Master System in Europe, and it is Sagaia. And Sagaia is a port. It's a port of an arcade game, a Darius game, Darius 2. So it's Darius 2 for the arcade, ported to the Sega Master System Europe, and called Sagaia for that. And we're going to hear War O. So that's war, like, you know, war, battles and stuff, right? And O, O-H apostrophe. Or no, sorry, O-H exclamation point. Okay? War O. Or war O. I don't know. And this is boss scene one. And the music is by Hisayoshi Ogura. And, you know, I listened to the there's a Genesis version of this game. And there's, of course, the arcade version. And I think I listened to all the different versions of this track on all the different platforms. And the Sega Master System version is the best, I think. I think it sounds the best. And now you're going to hear it. Here's music from Sagaia for the Sega Master System. This is music from Sagaia for the Sega Master System Europe. And this is War O, Boss Scene 1, music by Hisayoshi Ogura. And I think Iku Mitsutani programmed it for the Sega Master System. But yeah, anyway, this is a cool track. I feel like it's, I don't know if this is the right word to describe it, but it's modal. It feels like it's a modal mm-hmm. track, and I like modal music, I think. I think I do, I think.
You want to know a fun fact about European Master System games?
Go on.
You can play most of them here. Like, most of them were designed at 60 hertz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they were playing them too slow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Except for, like, I think 3 games or something.
Oh, interesting. Okay. They were playing them too slow, huh? Mm-hmm.
Like, people in Europe, well, I think nowadays, they modify their consoles to play 60 hertz.
Huh.
Yeah. There's a few exceptions, but I can't remember. It's like James Bond or something. I don't remember.
This track is cool. I like this right here. Mm-hmm. This is good. It just, it's almost, yeah, feels like, that's cool. This is a danceable track, I think, you know? If I danced, this is a danceable track. That's a cool track. That's right.
All right. Like that you started it off on a Sega tip. I would like to go to the next system in that timeline.
Uh-huh.
Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know him. You'll love him. I will pick a track from Side Pocket. You remember Side Pocket, Brent?
Sure.
Chilling is the track I have selected for us this evening.
It's not chilling. I think it's chillin'.
Chillin'?
Yeah, it's an apostrophe.
Chillin'. You know what I've just realized? How sometimes I write the name, I type in the name.
Uh-huh.
And then I email the track to you.
Yeah.
You know what I don't realize with some of the track names?
What?
They're auto-corrected.
Oh, really?
So then I send them to you. I copy and I paste. And then I send them to you. And then when I look at it, I read the updated pronunciation.
Ah.
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I think of you, of all people, would want to say this word in the way that it seems to be intended, which is, you know, not chilling, but chilling.
Chilling, yes.
Chilling.
So, you know, I'll tell this real quick before we start the track.
Yeah.
I went into a skateboard shop in Paris.
Uh-huh.
And the guy working behind the counter was very happy that I spoke English.
Yes.
Because he wanted to speak English. So I was asking him about the different clothes and some of the artwork that was up. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me, then it was quiet, and he says, so what are you doing the rest of the day? Are you going to be doing some chilling and some walking?
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah, I'll be doing some chilling. That sounds good. So it's kind of appropriate that this track is going to be played now.
Yes.
So why don't we do some chilling? Some chilling. Side Pocket. Are you guys chilling over there?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Side Pocket.
You know, there's also Okay, so Chillin' is one of the tracks in this soundtrack. But you know, there's two other ones that are kind of similar. There's a Stylin'. Okay.
Okay.
And there's also Groovin'.
Hmm. Mm.
And actually, there's another track called Playin' It Cool. And it's, you know, playin'. It's play and apostrophe N.
Sounds like a very laid-back game.
Yeah.
With pool.
And there's actually another track called Wrapping Up. So it's rapping with a...
This was like a W, or is it like rapping?
No, it's W, yeah. Wrapping, apostrophe. So,
apostrophe. Did you say apostrophe?
I meant apostrophe, but yeah, sure, apostrophe.
Apostrophe.
So you've got a lot of stuff here. You got chilling, styling, grooving, playing, rapping.
This composer does not like the letter G. Turn this part up here.
Yes.
It's got kind of an Outrun vibe.
Sure, yeah. By the way, I think the composers, there's two of them, don't have the letter G in their names, actually. Imi Shimizu and Masaki Iwasaki. I think.
Yeah, it does sound like Outrun a little, the passing breeze, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, next up, we're going to hear another Sega Master System track. This is another actually Sega Master System Europe game, and it is called the Cyber Shinobi. And this is music by Shirike Nuki and Shiriko Dama. Hmm. Those sound like aliases to me. Yeah, I mean, Shirike Nuki and Shiriko Dama, you know? And we're going to hear the track called Outside the Base, music from the Cyber Shinobi for the Sega Master System Europe. This is music from the Cyber Shinobi, Outside the Base. Music by Shirike Nuki and Shiriko Dama. Yeah, this is, once again, another good track here, you know? Another good Sega Master System track.
This sounds like some... What Nintendo game does this sound like?
I don't know. It doesn't bring anything to mind for me. I like this. It's cool with it. This part right here, it kind of reminds me of a little bit of Black Belt, the Sega Master System game Black Belt, a little bit. Well, okay, yeah, this part kind of reminds me of a Nintendo game that you're thinking of, but I don't know which one.
Kind of has like a techno sound to it, you know, like Trade West or whatever.
I think so, huh?
Yeah, just the style of it. Like, I don't know, River City Ransom.
I love this part right here. Dun, 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 dun. That one right there, that chord change right there is so good. I mean, it kind of sounds almost Konami right here, actually, or something. Or something like that. I don't know. Actually, yeah, the more I listen to it, maybe the more it does sound kind of Nintendo.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like something.
This part's so good. That part's the best right there. That's good. This is a good track. By the way, these tracks are from Darren Deluxe. He put together a little compilation of tracks that he found on the Sega Master System, games we haven't played on the podcast before. And these were of his top picks, you know.
Okay. I would like to move on to some Neo Geo.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go with Magician Lord? Stage 1, Music Dale of Evil Gods.
I think that it's just Dale of Evil Gods. I think it's just the stage 1 music, I think. Well, I don't know, but I'm not sure. Maybe.
Okay.
Because I think that, let me just look it up real quick. I'm pretty sure. Because, yeah. It's just saying, it's funny you read it that way, actually. It's just saying stage one music, but, you know, it's not Music Dale of Evil Gods. It's just Dale of Evil Gods.
Oh, all my dashes were removed.
Well, no, yes, there's no dash. I see that for you. Yeah, that there's no dash, but it's just a little confusing. I think it's supposed to just be stage one music. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, so. Music Dale.
There we go. Magician Lord. Neo Geo, stage 1. Very fast track there, right? Get the energy going.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the second time we've heard from Magician Lord in the life of our podcast.
I believe that's true. That's true.
Yes.
The game is hard.
Oh, is
it?
No.
It's very hard.
Oh, really?
It's like a platformer.
Did you play it in the arcade or did you?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I enjoy music from a good Lord game. You know what I mean?
It's Time Lord.
Time Lord is good. Magician Lord is good.
Lord of the Sword.
Weapon Lord.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure. Any other lords you want to mention?
I think those are all the lords of the gaming world.
Oh, there's a Lord of the Rings game on Super Nintendo. I don't know if that, I don't think that counts.
Is it really?
Yeah, I have it. Unless I threw it away. It's very, very bad.
What did Gabe say?
There's a Lord of the Rings game on Super Nintendo.
He said he thinks he has it unless he threw it away.
I was joking. I have it.
There's a Lord of the Rings on Super Nintendo?
Yeah, it's
is that right?
It's very bad. Yeah. Not good. I think.
I'm trying to think of other lords.
What's Lord of the Sword? Is that a Genesis game? Or is that a pinball game?
I don't know. Something like that. Yeah, Lord of the Sword. Yeah, it sounds...
Lord of the Sword. That's right.
I think Rob played it.
No, there is. He did, for sure. Yeah. It's a Sega Master System. It's actually Sega Master System.
Brain Lord.
Oh, yeah, Brain Lord.
Brain Lord.
Brain Lord. Gotta mention Brain Lord. That's my favorite Lord. Brain Lord is my favorite Lord.
That's the Lord you worship.
Brain is my favorite Lord.
Yeah. Oh, Lords of Thunder.
Oh, also Lord Monarch. Lord Monarch.
Yeah. Lord Monarch. And Lords of Thunder, which is a great shoot 'em up game.
Brent, can I just suggest one thing for a future episode?
I thought you were going to say, can I just suggest one more Lord? No, yes. What, all Lord music?
Lord music. There it is.
Yeah, it should be like the worship episode.
Just a Lord episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just take it under advisement.
Okay, I will. Okay, well, next up, we're going to hear from a TurboGrafx-16 game. Well, more specifically, a PC Engine game. And this is from Terra Cresta 2. Manler no Gyakushu. And this is music by Akihiro Akamatsu and Sachiko Oita. We're going to hear formation design / game start or hyperspace player start. So, I don't know. I've seen this. I'm not sure exactly what to call this. I've seen it kind of listed either one of those, but and also in the game, but or I'll just list it as all of those things: formation design, game start, hyperspace, player start. Terra Cresta 2 for the PC Engine. This is music from Terra Cresta 2, Manler no Gyakushu, Music by Akihiro Akamatsu and Sachiko Oita. This is Formation Design, Game Start, Hyperspace, Player Start. And the Mandler part of that title, I'm not exactly sure if that's Mandra. Could be Mandra, you know, because it's, I see it, it, you know, there's an L and R kind of translation situation. So I don't know if it's Mandra no Gyakushu or if it's Mandler no Gyakushu. I don't know. Anyway, this is a cool track. You know, it's very short, but
I'm digging those drums.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah, the drums are cool, yeah. So this is cool, right? But then when it kicks in, it's so cool. This is cool, but then it's so cool. This right here, this is cool music. Isn't that cool, that sounds? That part is really cool. It's so cool. It sounds cool. It sounds like cool music. Yeah. You know?
I like the sound of the snare, the distorted kind of snare.
Oh.
It's almost like a Mega Man snare.
Hmm. This part's just really cool. Yeah, it sounds like some kind of drum pad style snare.
Could be a tom, like a synth tom. It probably is.
Yeah,
I think that's what Mega Man is supposed to be.
Okay, moving on. I would like to go to Rampart.
Quite satisfactory. You get that reference, anybody?
No.
Nope.
No, what's that?
There's a scene from the movie Mary Poppins, you know?
I've never seen Mary Poppins.
Oh, you never saw it?
The original one or the new one?
Oh, the original. Come
I've
on.
Always,
come
well,
on.
I've only seen the new
come
one.
Come on, Rob. You know I'm talking about the original. There's a part where she makes the kids have to take this medicine, but it tastes their favorite thing. It tastes like their favorite flavor or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the first one goes, lime kosh is delicious. I don't know what she's saying exactly. She's saying she drinks the medicine and or whatever, and she goes, lime kosh is delicious. And then the boy takes the medicine, it's a spoonful of it, right? And or something like that. And then he does it and he goes, strawberry, mmm. And then Mary Poppins takes it and she goes, rum punch. Quite satisfactory. She does a little hiccup at the end, yeah. Rum punch. Quite satisfactory. Anyway, so there you go. Rampart.
That's a little Mary
little
Poppins trivia.
That's some Poppins kind of talk.
Yeah,
that's
her first initial, yeah.
Yeah, Poppins. Yeah, sure. Poppins. Poppins.
Mary Poppins Twinbee.
Yeah, Poppins Twinbee. Yeah, Mary Poppins Twinbee.
So, let us listen to the ending for Rampart Sega Genesis. We'll be right back. rampart ending.
Hey, you were actually on beat just now, actually.
That's a rarity for me being over Skype, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Rampart, or you know what it's about?
No, I don't, you know. I know Rampage.
I used to play Rampart. I was about to say, this is pretty hardcore for that kind of game. Like, you never played it? Like, I played it in the arcade. I have it on SNES, but I played it in the arcade a lot as a kid. Like, you set up, you have a castle, you set up your cannons, mm-hmm. and I think it was a trackball game.
Oh.
And then you fire the cannon, just like round after round, you fire cannons at ships.
It was okay.
fun. And then it's kind of like a strategy, like building game, kind of.
Right. Yeah. I was reading that once you defeat your opponent, you can execute the other commander. Mm-hmm. Is that so?
Yeah. I think so. I wasn't that good at it, but I remember either doing that or seeing that.
Huh.
This is the early version of Fortnite, minus the dances, you know. You know, when I go, Brent, when I'm at the barbershop and I have some kids in the shop.
Yeah.
The youngins, right?
Sure.
I'll ask them if they like video games.
Yeah.
And if they say yes, I say, oh, do you like Fortnite? And they'll say, oh, yeah. I'll say, do you want to play the real Fortnite?
Uh-huh.
And they'll say, yeah. And then I set up my chess table. Because that's the real Fortnite right there.
I mean,
they don't really like it.
I thought you're going to, like, take them up to, like, an island or something and, like, battle royale them, like a movie.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. Just put them in a closet together and see who stays, who survives the longest now. How about this? I thought that you were going to say this. This is what I thought you were going to say. So I'm just going to pretend to be you, okay? So when I'm at the, you know, I'm at the shop and there's kids around, you know, I ask them if they want to play a video game, you know? And, I basically just give them this nondescript cartridge, and they just hold it in their hand, and it's a blank kind of cartridge, and it doesn't look like it belongs to any system, you know. And so the first kid will say, they'll say. Nintendo Switch, I like it. And then, I don't know. And then the next kid will say, Xbox One, And then you'll hold the cartridge and you'll go, Genesis. Quite satisfactory. And you hiccup still, you know? Something like that. I don't know.
I thought he was going to give the kids, like, grandpa.
Yeah, it sort of doesn't make sense.
Bummed them out.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really make sense to give them a cartridge. I don't know. I was trying to make some kind of joke there. I don't know. I guess the other version of it is you can... Okay, the other version of this is this. You give them this Genesis cart, right? It's a Genesis cart. You give it to them. The first kid says... And it doesn't have a label on it, but the first kid says... Rampart. Delicious. The next one says, they hold the cartridge, they play it, they go, he goes, Rampart, And then you hold the cartridge and you go, Rampart. Quite satisfactory.
I can't do a hiccup noise.
Anyway, whatever. Some more Mary Poppins Twin B stuff for you in there, yeah.
Aha.
Okay. all right. So next up, we're going to hear from another PC Engine game. This is called Honey in the Sky. And there's actually a couple, I think, Honey games. There's Honey on the Road. You don't. What do you think? This is funny.
No, I just.
Honey.
Funny title.
It's also sometimes that it's listed as honey, you know? You know, like the stuff.
Is it like H-U-N-N-Y? Like it's like
No, it's H-A-N-I, and it's supposed to be what is it, a Hanawa? You know what a Hanawa is?
No.
It's a little plant or statue or something. We came across those when we were playing the...
Oh, like the... Yeah.
They're little figurines or something. It's a little figurine.
I know them as gyroids from the Animal Crossing games. They look like a little fire hydrant almost with like two arms.
That's correct. Yeah, that's exactly correct. Yeah. They like look like a cactus of sorts, right?
Yeah.
So I say, but wait, is it a plant or a little statue? Little statuette.
Statue.
It's a statuette that looks like a cactus.
Yeah, it looks like it's clay or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Anyway, you play as that. It's one of those things, you know? It's a Hanawa, right?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
That sounds right.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's a PC Engine game, and music is by Atsuko Iwanaga. And we're going to hear For the Gloomy Gods. And this track sounds a lot like Sonic the Hedgehog. Well, parts of it sound like Sonic the Hedgehog, straight up, actually. And this came out before Sonic the Hedgehog, so... What are you looking up?
Oh, nothing. It's interesting.
Oh, what part?
Just Sonic? That it came out before.
Oh, yeah. So
maybe there's some influence there.
Yeah, something to keep in mind there. Hold on. What is this? How do you do this? Oh, how do you do the... What is this Hanawa thing called? What is it? What's the statue called?
I mean, I call him a gyroid, but that's, I think, what the game that I played.
But it's
calls
called
him.
A what?
I don't know.
You know, Hanawa, right?
Yeah, it's like this.
Yeah. What is that really called?
I don't know.
What is this thing? It's called a. Well, we'll figure it out, I guess. And we'll figure it out when we come back. As for now. Listen for the Sonic the Hedgehog influence.
Haniwa.
Yeah, Haniwa. Oh, Haniwa. Right, Haniwa. Haniwa. And what is it exactly?
It's a clay figurine.
A clay figurine, okay. But it looks like a little cactus. That's why I said plant, is I thought it looked like a little succulent or something, you know? But anyway. Okay. Honey in the Sky, PC Engine, Atsuko Iwanaga, For the Gloomy Gods. Listen for the Sonic influence. This is music from Honey in the Sky for the PC Engine. Music by Atsuko Iwanaga. Iwanaga. And this is For the Gloomy Gods. And I said, you know, listen to the Sonic influence. And what I mean is not the influence from Sonic, but the influence on Sonic. I think. Right?
What came first?
This came out before Sonic.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did, yeah. But, I mean, this part right here coming up, this sounds so much like Sonic right here. This run right here.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's Sonic
the
Hedgehog.
That's Green Hill,
are you
right?
Kidding me?
The intro, yeah.
Yeah.
That's straight up Sonic the Hedgehog. Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, just to verify this, just to make sure, I'm pretty sure this came up before, though. When did Sonic the Hedgehog come out? 91?
Well, was that 90? Yeah, I think you're... Or wasn't it on the Master System first, before the
Prime? No. That's a port. That's a port. Come on, now. Come on. I thought you were...
You live in Port Town.
I thought you were a Sega guy. You live in Port Town. What's up, you know?
Okay. 91.
Okay. Now, what year did this come out? Guess what year this game came out?
89.
What year?
89.
So, like, Sonic probably wasn't even in development.
Sonic wasn't even conceived yet.
It's just a twinkle in Sega's eye.
Yeah. Sonic was just a twinkle in Alex Kidd's eye.
I was trying to think of the boss's name. Dr. Robotnik, right? Yeah. By the way, the Haniwa is, I guess it's kind of like a funeral kind of thing. Like, I guess bodies are sometimes buried with them.
Okay.
And in the game Animal Crossing that I enjoy, you dig them up and collect them, and that makes it kind of dark, actually.
Oh, wow, like, that is weird.
You dig them up out of the ground, and you just collect them.
Oh, that's weird, yeah.
Which I kind of like.
Shoot,
that.
Shit, that's interesting. That's weird. So, what do you think about that, huh, Rob?
It's kind of blowing my mind.
I mean, think about this. This came out 2 years before Sonic the Hedgehog, and you got this? I mean, that is some Sonic right there.
But also the tones are
so
pretty
are you
Sonic
telling me that
yeah.
the Sonic team maybe lifted this music?
This sounds really similar. I mean, listen to it. Not this part, but the other part, though, you know? Also, actually, I think there's a beginning part that doesn't repeat. Let me just see here. Like this part right here. This right here sounds like Sonic 2, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, Green Hill Zone. Green Hill Zone.
But then it just doesn't get any closer than this right here.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that is just
so
Sonic the Hedgehog right there.
Oh my
straight up.
Oh
that's
my
a Green
hog.
Hill Zone.
Oh my
right
hog.
What do you think about that, though, huh?
Well, it's just...
Is it allowed to play to compare? No, you don't want to.
No, we can play a little clip of that.
Because this is literally the first 2 seconds.
Yeah. We can give a little bit of that. Let's get a little bit of that. Let's just see what it sounds like for a second here. Hold on a second.
Yeah, let's hear this one again.
Yeah, hold on a second. Now watch this. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. I think I have it. Hold on. Should have this on me already. I mean, does it make you a little bit kind of think, oh, man, my flagship, you know, game of my system of my that I identify with, it's kind of just actually just copying PC Engine, you know?
Is it possible that the two composers worked together and maybe the Sonic composer had this idea prior to Sonic?
Sure, that's possible.
Gave the idea was either stolen or given to what's the name of this game again?
Honey in the Sky.
Honey in the Sky.
Honey.
H A N I.
H A N I. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's also sometimes listed as Honey in the Sky, but I think it should be Honey because it's like a Haniwa statue, right? Is that what you say?
Mm-hmm.
Haniwa statue. It looked like a little cactus, though. That's why I thought I was thinking plant, actually, at one point.
Well, maybe it's like a cheetah pet.
Oh, version. Right. It kind of looks like that, too. Okay, right? So it's like that. And then we're talking.
Same
and then,
key,
then,
too,
that's,
right? That's
and then really we're talking good. This, too.
Oh, my lord.
It's different. But
it's so similar. So similar. What's up? You know? Hold on. Let's just check that out again. Here, I'm gonna play this one first. And that's kind of crazy how similar that is, right?
It's a good track.
Yeah, I like the track. The track is good, by the way. Okay, right?
Come on,
it's the same key.
Yeah,
it's in the same key, and it's also the same like sound quality.
It's almost like someone worked on this game, worked on Sonic, and it was like a little like Easter egg, like homage
but,
or something.
But by the way, I mean, this music, I mean, there's a different composer, though, you know, for
sure. It
could
be like a sound designer.
Okay, okay, here's the thing to look up. This is something interesting to look up. The composer of Sonic the Hedgehog is Masato Nakamura, right? Mm-hmm. He was in a band called, I think, Dreams Come True,
yep,
I think, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Is Dreams Come True have this guy, Atsuko Iwanaga, in it?
I don't know.
That's something to think. I mean, it's the same thing.
Well, it ends differently, slightly. There it is.
Oops.
What? He's not in that band.
He's not in that band. Well, all right, we'll just listen to it one more time, comparison real quick. Let's see. I mean, it's a slightly different, right?
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, anyway,
that's real close. That's like lawsuit territory.
Something to think about.
If it was like in a commercial nowadays, it'd be a problem.
Something to think about.
Might be something there. Might be.
Anyway, you know, that's interesting, you know. Let me give this a proper fade out, though, as it deserves, you know. Being the original Sonic the Hedgehog. Honey in the Sky is the original Sonic the Hedgehog, actually. Anyway, this is a good track. I like this part, you know. That's good. Good track. Yeah.
Someone on a message board made the same comparison.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
How could you not? Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. Someone else even knows about this game? I feel like it's so obscure.
Someone said, wow, the song you posted has some really Green Hill Zone-esque parts, said Esteban in 2009.
Okay, wow. So people have been talking about this for a decade.
It's out there.
At least a decade.
Okay. Well, look, controversy on the Legacy Music Hour.
You heard it here.
Perhaps
first.
A new revelation and
exclusive.
No, you heard it here 10 years. Almost. You heard it here 10 years later.
You may have opened up something you don't want to open up. Right? That's all mm-hmm. I have to say to you.
Yeah.
Play that song again.
What? Which one?
You know which one.
Okay. Hold on.
All I have to tell you, Brent. This is what I have to say to you, Brent. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't want to know the answers to questions. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
You may be asking questions that shouldn't be asked. Because the world's not ready for the answers. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
So... maybe what you're saying is true, but maybe we don't need to know that, is all I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Watch yourself, is all I'm saying, bro. Watch yourself.
Mm-hmm. What if, like, after this podcast comes out, you get a knock at the door and it's Masato Nakamura? He's mad. You've outed him.
His hair is all spiked up and stuff. Something like that. He just kind of does a somersault into me or something.
Alien 3 is a game for the Sega Genesis. It was a movie. And it was made into a game for the Sega Genesis. Did you see the Alien movies?
I did. I saw 1 through 3. Yeah, mm-hmm. So 1 through 3, and you get a very tough Sigourney Weaver in part 3, shaved head.
I've only seen Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
That's a joke, right?
No.
I've only seen Prometheus and Alien 1 and 2. Alien and Aliens.
Wait, you've only seen these later Alien movies?
Yes.
You didn't see the originals?
I have not seen them.
That's weird. That's wrong.
But I played Alien 3.
I have a friend, by the way, who I watched that movie Creed 2 recently, and I have this friend. What?
They've only seen Creed and like Rocky Balboa.
They've never seen. No, they haven't even. They only have seen Creed 1 and Creed 2. Now Creed 2.
Jeez. I've never seen any Rocky or Creed or anything ever.
First of all, the Rocky movies are so good.
I know. Okay? I'll see it. It's on the list. It's just there. You know, it's like everyone's got those franchises that they somehow avoided.
No, part 1 and part 3 are the best. You know. Oh what?
No, I love 4. I love
4. 4 is good.
The soundtrack. That's my favorite. 4 is good. 5 is.
But
so
imagine somebody. This is what it's like for you, Rob, with the Alien movies, not having the frame of reference for the original Rockies, and your only frame of reference is the Creed movies. That's weirdly weird and wrong.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm sure it works. I mean, really.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. 2 is probably the best.
Really?
I don't know. I like them all.
So that's interesting, Rob. Anyway, you're like my friend who only seen Creed 1 and 2. You know?
People kind of hated on Prometheus. I kind of liked it.
I totally liked
it. The imagery is super cool.
Yeah. I totally
I loved it. I loved it.
I didn't see it, and I never will. No, I might see it, actually.
It's good. It's fine.
Yeah.
Stage 2. Alien 3. Here we go. For the Sega Genesis.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you mentioned the composer, but this is our guy, Matt Furness.
Hot Matt Furness. The one and only.
Hot
Burning
Furness.
Things up.
So, I have this thought about Creed 2 that if you go, want me to talk about it. I talked about it on a different podcast, but
I never seen him.
You know, it doesn't. I'm not. It's not going to spoil anything, but
I wouldn't care.
Should I talk about Creed 2 for a second here?
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, Rob?
I've seen it.
You have seen it?
I have.
Well, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but I had this thought. I already talked about this on another podcast, but. This is for the Legacy Music Hour listeners.
Is Rocky training Apollo Creed's son?
That's correct. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, sure. And in part 2, he fights Ivan Drago's son.
No way.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway.
Does he juice up?
You'll have to watch and see, you know. But so.
You saw part 2?
I've seen all the Rocky movies, all of them.
Because you know what? I want to talk to you about part two.
Well, okay. We right now or off air?
Right. I think right now would be cool. Can we just issue a spoiler alert?
Well,
let's do the Creed 2.
I don't think here's the thing. I don't know if we should spoil anything to people, but I do have something to say about the movie that's not a spoiler.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing, and you'll think this is funny. Okay. Well, what do you? Okay, never mind. So here's what happened. Here's what I was thinking. I was thinking about something in the middle of the movie. Well, not the middle of the movie, but I was thinking about something during the movie that made me think this movie could be a huge hit. You know, it was snubbed for the Oscars, right? And there's probably a lot of reasons why, you know? I mean, but I thought of a way to make it so that it would be on everybody's top 10 list.
How's
and
that?
It was making me laugh thinking about it, but...
I think I know where you're going.
Really? No, you don't. You don't know where... Where do you think I'm going
to
go?
Does it have to do with the soundtrack?
No.
Okay,
no.
I thought Creed did the soundtrack. The band Creed.
Oh.
Christian band.
I thought you were going to say if Matt Furniss did the music to it.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Or if they used the Alien 3 video game soundtrack for the movie. No, here's my thought. About 35 minutes into the movie, Creed dies. Adonis Creed, okay? Apollo's son. He dies, right? This is my if I was to make this movie.
Oh,
it would
okay,
be,
sure.
If I was to make this movie over again, it would be... Oh, I'm not spoiling anything. I'm saying this is the version of it that I think could have been a big hit. Is that basically the movie is exactly as it is in the movie, except 35 minutes in, Creed dies. So first off, right there, and they go to a funeral. Rocky goes to his funeral. Everyone goes to the funeral. First off, everybody would be really tripped up about that. They would think, this is not... I can't believe he died. That's not what I expected, right?
Right, and they're playing Living in America.
And it's only 35 minutes into the movie, okay? And, yeah. Okay, then...
It's like a MacGuffin.
It says... There's a title screen that says, 1 week later, right? And so basically someone knocks on Rocky's door, right? He opens the door. There's a 10-year-old... There's a white, skinny 10-year-old boy standing there. And he says, and Rocky says, what do you want, kid? Or whatever, right? And the kid says, I know this sounds crazy, but it's me, Creed. Okay?
So I didn't think it was going that way. Yeah.
Yeah, and then...
It's good.
And then Rocky says, what are you talking about? You're making fun of my friend. My friend died. You know, What are you making a mockery of me? Get lost, kid, or whatever, right? And he's like, no, it's me. It really is me, Rock. It's me. And somehow he proves it to him. He tells him something that only he would know or something like that, right? And
wait, he's Apollo Creed? Or he's the
no,
son?
No, he's son, the son okay, of Creed. Sure, okay. Somehow the spirit of Adonis Creed transferred into this body of a 10-year-old boy who's white also and skinny. And... So he convinces Rocky that it's Creed and that he needs him to train him and stuff. Okay, so that's one option, right? I'm not done with the conclusion yet, but that's one option. The other option would be that this kid shows up at his door, right? But it's not the spirit of Creed that's in him. He's just an actual 10-year-old boy, and he explains to Rocky that he's a really big fan, or he was a really big fan of Adonis Creed, and now that he's dead, he wants to fight in his place. Okay, and so Rocky says, "Yeah, right. You know, right. You know, you can't fight. You're only 10 years old. You know, what, you can fight. You can't fight. Adonis Creed." And then he goes, and he says, "No, I want you to train me." And so anyway, Rocky, he's kind of has nothing going on in his life. He decides to humor this kid and train him. So here's the. Okay, in either option, he's going to train this kid, okay? Mm-hmm. Either it's the spirit of Creed inside of him, or it's actually just a kid who was a big fan of him, you know?
Sure.
And I kind of actually think that that's even more absurd, is that it's just... By the way, this whole thing is completely played straight. There's no... It's, you know, there's no... It's not silly at all.
Sure,
you know, it's
sure.
Totally serious. And I think the more absurd version is the kid's just a really big fan of Creed, and yet he's gonna. So he doesn't even have the mind of Creed in him. He's just a kid who doesn't even know anything. Anyway, Rocky trains the kid. And the kid starts training, and he's getting good and stuff, and he actually fights against Ivan Drago's son, right? And, okay, one would think, okay, the obvious joke is that he gets in the ring, you think he's going to have a chance even, and then just one punch and the kid's dead, you know, or whatever. The kid gets knocked out, right? No. The kid, and it's totally played straight, actually puts up a real fight against this full-grown man who's buff, and, you know, they actually go the distance, both of them, and just imagine played so totally straight, a kid with boxing gloves on, and he was skinny, and he's a skinny kid.
He's 10 years old,
okay. And he's punching this grown adult, and they're trading punches, and he's taking hits, too, and this is a full-on real fight, straight up. Straight ahead fight. There's no joke to it, but it's a kid doing it, right? And it's all done seriously. And anyway, you know, either the kid loses but goes the distance, you know, loses by decision, or he wins, you know, he knocks him out maybe at the end. I don't know. But either way, people would be blown. Their minds would be blown, okay?
Yeah.
Everybody who watches that movie would say, have you seen Creed 2? It's crazy.
Well, people will try to explain it, and their friends wouldn't believe it, and then they would go see the movie.
Well, they would say, look, I don't want to spoil it, but you got to go see this movie. It's nothing what you expect it to be. It totally takes a crazy turn. First of all, it takes one turn that is totally unexpected, and then it takes a really crazy turn. People would be blown away, and I tell you, that would be not snubbed in the Oscars. It would be nominated for best turns, best surprises, you know? Probably best surprise in a movie.
It was like Shyamalan should direct.
It would totally outdo any Shyamalan type thing. You know, I mean, I think if that movie was like that, imagine with that kind of budget and it took that absurd of a turn, but was played totally straight, that would be the movie of the year.
Sure.
Movie of the year.
You're just giving it away.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's what I do. You heard it here.
Really, Ivan Drago's son is in it?
Yeah.
That seems very unlikely that those two would match.
Who?
I mean, like another boxer from Russia is now boxing Apollo Creed's son.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is that, after he was disgraced or whatever, you know, Ivan was disgraced. His whole thing is he, of course, he's going to train his son to be. I mean, I buy it. He was going to train his son to.
Is like Brigitte Nielsen's daughter in this?
Well, no, I mean, he's...
No, I was joking. Well, she's in four.
No, I know. I don't want to say anything, but...
I'm not either.
No, there's something about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything.
Sure.
I'll say this, though, too. I mean, look, I don't say negative things here, you know what I mean? Anything negative, but we're not talking about video game music here. We're just talking about the movie. It's not... You don't need to see it. So we can spoil. I can spoil it. It's not a big deal, but whatever. I won't, just in case anybody wants to see Creed 2. I'm not saying go out and see Creed 2, but I mean, did you want to spoil something, Rob?
No. Well, I wanted to ask you something about it, but I'm afraid maybe I will spoil it if I do say something. So I'll just refrain.
Well, fine. Why don't you just do this? If you don't want to hear the spoiler, then just fast forward the podcast 1 minute or something.
Spoiling which movie?
Creed 2.
Okay.
Go. Okay, starting now. Now fast forward in a minute from now. Now go, Rob.
The real story in this movie was Drago and his son.
Oh, absolutely. That was the only compelling thing about the movie, actually.
I wanted to know so much more. Yes. And when the ex-wife...
Totally agree, yeah. Totally agree.
...popped in and, yep. You know...
100%.
You had the rich new husband and then the strained relationship with the son and
absolutely.
The mother.
There was so much more dynamic and complexity to what was going on with them than anything else. And I said the same thing. I said that was the only good thing the movie had going for it was the Dragos, you know?
Well, here's something controversial that I'll say that fans will not like. I don't like Michael B. Jordan as an actor. There. Whoa. I don't like him as an actor. So, you know how Rocky movies are structured where he loses the first fight. And then there's the training montage.
Spoiler.
Right?
Uh-huh.
The best part of the movie.
When he lost the first fight.
Okay, hold on. I mean, we're past our minute, so like we should just... we'll say that, okay, if you're coming back in a minute in now,
I don't think
if you're back in here in a minute, you fast forward another minute, okay? We're going to talk about something else here. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Go.
When he got knocked out in the first fight.
And by the way, that's the 35-minute mark or whatever that I was saying. What if he died in that instead of getting just knocked out?
That's,
you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, look, if he, as a joke, because I was watching the movie with Pedro.
Yeah.
When he got knocked, I knew there was a whole other fight left and the whole other portion of the movie
left.
Yeah,
you know what? It's not even a spoiler because obviously if he's going to fight Drago at that point, you know he's going to lose. It's all foreshadowed that he's going to lose. It's obvious he's going to lose, and it's obvious that he's going to come back and do it another fight, and there's going to be some technicality why he's able to do that again. And that's, by the way, when he gets knocked out, I that's when I thought to myself, what if he died? You know, that's when I thought that and started kind of going.
Oh, okay, sure.
That's
sure.
when I started going down this whole narrative, you know.
When he got knocked out, I looked at Pedro and I said, "Hey, that was a short movie. I love the ending. Let's go. I'm ready to go."
Yeah.
And then it was the whole training montage. And listen to me. You're a former champ of the world, and you're going to go train for the big title fight with a guy who just got released from prison. With out in the middle of a desert just hitting a hammer. Come on. What? No professional athlete trains that way. Give me a break.
Well, for me, it was just more about I wanted more of this Drago thing where he's calling his dad out for being a sellout, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then at the end, to me, the most compelling thing near the end of the movie was the Drago son is just, he keeps going. This is so bad. We're totally spoiling the movie at this point. But he keeps going. He's doing it for his dad. He's not doing, you know what I mean? Like, he knows it's you know, his, and it was actually kind of cool that his dad kind of had a breakthrough. His dad has a breakthrough at the end. Ivan Drago has a breakthrough, which was kind of neat, I thought, actually. Anyway, totally spoiling it now.
Those were the most genuine performances.
I'm you know what? I got to apologize. I hope, look, no one's going to watch Creed 2. Come on. You should just think about the version I gave you, you know, which was my version, and that's the version, and feel like you watched it, and yeah, just think of it.
The Weinbach cut.
Yeah.
I like that.
We're totally spoiling this. We'll put it in the note. All right, anyway, we got to.
You didn't spoil the original Rockies. That's good.
No. But, yeah, anyway, I'm sorry to everybody that we spoiled the movie.
Do you like Rocky 5?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I did. I like 1 through 5 a lot. Those are my Rockies.
I like it, but it's, okay.
I didn't really, anyway.
It's
like
1. It's different.
It is different, but I did like it. Mm-hmm. Tommy the Machine Gun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just making sure. I had a feeling that. Okay, moving on to a Super Famicom track. Okay, we haven't heard any Super Nintendo stuff yet, or Super Famicom stuff, or Nintendo stuff, I guess. But The Great Battle 5, and this is music by Kenosuke Suamura and Norihiko Togashi. We're going to hear Hotel Dada, and there's a lot of good music in this game, and this is a game that I played a while back and haven't had an opportunity to play music from it, but there's one track in this that I kind of want to play that really sounds like Chrono Trigger, but I mean, talking about things copying each other, I mean, this sounds like it's copying Chrono Trigger, but I'm not going to play that track. I'll play that on another day, maybe. But anyway, Hotel Dada is the name of the track we're going to hear from The Great Battle 5 for the Super Famicom. We'll be right back. This is music from The Great Battle 5. We're hearing Hotel Dada. And the music is by Kenosuke Suemura and Norihiko Togashi. Let me check the beginning again here. Kind of played the beginning part again twice, but it's okay. My favorite part's coming up right here, actually. It's good. It's good.
That's that rocky that's brass.
Uh-huh.
Vince DiCola synth brass.
Yeah.
Oberheim.
Anyway, yeah, that's Hotel Dada. This game has some cool stuff in it, you know. Anyway, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna close it out here. What do you think of that?
Close it.
Glay Lancer.
Yeah, we heard from that last month, I think.
Yeah. We did the story credits, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Normal ending is what we're going to do now.
Okay.
There we go. There it is. So that's how we end it. Okay.
Hmm.
Clay Lancer. That was good. Go. It's just it's a nice way to end the podcast there. Another episode in the books, everybody.
Well, I mean, we have a closing track as well, and sure. You know, other things, but and you know, we have to say goodbye and all that stuff as well, you know. Composers on this, I think, are Yoshiaki Kubatera, Masanori Hikichi, Isao Mizoguchi, and Noriyuki Iwadare. There's a part that is really cool in this where the drums are doing this thing, and
oh yeah,
you know, right. What I'm talking about, and it's kind of fun, and there's a lot of fake outs, kind of, you know, or it's sort of just there's a lot of quiet space, and I like that. That's fun, yeah. Check that out.
It's got a rock ballad, you know?
Mm-hmm. This part. I like this. This is fun. That is so funny. That is funny to me right there, yeah. Fake out. It was a fake out right there. That was a fake out, and I liked that. That's a fake out, and I liked it, you know? It's kind of like my version of Creed, too. Mm-hmm. In a way. Anyway, that's cool. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So for a full track listing, you can go to legacymusichour.com. You can also comment there and or ask questions if you want. You can do that in the comment section there. You can also email us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
Call us 281-SONIC-91.
You can also connect on the Facebook page. You can follow that. It's Legacy Music Hour. It's at Facebook. And you can also, if you like the show, you can go to iTunes and you can rate and review it. And yeah, do all those things. Or one or none, you know. Thanks again to our sponsor, Double Cobra Milling. And our engineer is Gabe Castro. Thank you to Gabe Castro. Thank you to Trevor Ames for hosting us here. And thank you to Emily Donnelly, who does the mixtapes, which are now coming out every week. The regular episodes come out the first of Wednesday of every month, right? And that will be out for 2 weeks until until a mixtape is posted. And every other week of the month is going to be a mixtape. It's not going to be every other week. It's every week, aside from the week after the regular episode comes out. So, hey, that's cool, right? That's more mixtapes each month. So
I'm digging that.
You know, maybe one day we'll be caught up to the current episode, you know? That'll be kind of interesting if that ever happens. And what else? I think that's about it, right? Next month, we're going to do another Beyond 16-bit era episode. Isn't that right?
Sounds good to me.
So you can get all those PC, CD tracks out of your system and all of that, you know? And, you know, I want to get some stuff out of my system too, actually. I've got, you know, maybe we'll make it an extended episode so we can just really dump all our, that beyond, you know, that beyond fourth generation stuff out, you know, just dump it. So, Okay, so now let's talk about the closing track. This is kind of a special closing track, kind of, you know. I'm not going to mention it. Okay, so here's something kind of neat that happened recently. This is kind of big news in the video game world, or the retro video game world, and the and video game music world. So there was a game that was canceled that was intended to be released in 1991, and it recently the ROM was uncovered. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, I know.
So this is SimCity for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Of course, it came out for the Super Nintendo, but it never came out for the Nintendo. SimCity. What are you want to have something to add to it?
Well, I have a fun little fact about SimCity.
Please.
For the Nintendo, and for any Seinfeld fans. Have you ever noticed he has NES games on his shelf, like World Cup Soccer, and he has like boxed
NES. Wait, who? Say what?
On Seinfeld's shelf in his apartment, he has like boxed NES games.
Oh, he does?
And he has like VHS tapes. He has two copies of the movie True Colors.
Really?
Yeah, if you just pause and look at it.
Oh, wow.
Weird. And they kind of change out, but Nintendo World Cup is on there, and there's a SimCity, and it's very interesting. Like, just Google it. It looks like an NES version of SimCity. Like,
really?
The box looks like an NES. It could be Super Nintendo,
uh-huh.
But it's just interesting.
That maybe he got a beta version of it or something?
Yeah, it might be the Super Nintendo version, but he only has NES games, and the box looks a little weird. So.
I didn't know that Seinfeld had a Super Nintendo. That's interesting.
I don't think he had a Super Nintendo. But
his character in the show.
NES games, yeah.
That's interesting to me that he had video games.
Yeah.
I would have never thought that about him.
Yeah.
How come there's no jokes about it?
You know? I don't know. I don't think a lot of people noticed.
There could have been scenes, you know, of him and George playing something, you know? Like,
what's the deal with Little Nemo?
Exactly. So SimCity for the Nintendo, the ROM was very recently uncovered. And with that, the music for the game was recently uncovered. And this is music by Soya Oka, who did the music to the Super Nintendo version. And also did the music to a lot of stuff, including Pilot Wings and Super Mario Kart. And so I thought we would close with one of the tracks from SimCity for the Nintendo, this canceled game from 1991. What do you think?
I'm looking at the picture, and it looks like the SNES version of SimCity, but it looks weird.
So we're going to hear Megalopolis. From SimCity for the Nintendo Entertainment System, music by Soya Oka, to close it out, to really fully close it out, really. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I'm Rather Switch.
The name of the program is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.